All right, people, Elland finally said. Let's start preparations. Breeze, Sazed, Aurean, I'll need you to talk with the scribes about supply estimates for your trip. Ham, send word to Luthadel and tell Penrod to have our scholars work on culturing plants that can grow in very little sunlight. Demu, pass the word to the men. We march tomorrow.
Hemallergy, it is called, because of the connection to blood. It is not a coincidence, I believe, that death is always involved in the transfer of powers via hemallergy. Marsh once described it as a messy process. Not the adjective I would have chosen. It's not disturbing enough.
13. I'm missing something, Marsh thought. He sat in the Kolos camp, just sitting. He hadn't moved in hours. Ash dusted him like a statue. Ruin's attention had been focused elsewhere lately, and Marsh had been left with more and more time to himself. He still didn't struggle. Struggle just brought Ruin's attention. Isn't that what I want, he thought, to be controlled? When Ruin forced him to see things its way, the dying world seemed wonderful. That bliss was far superior to the dread he felt while sitting on the stump, slowly being buried in ash. No. No, that's not what I want. It was bliss, true, but it was false. As he had once struggled against Ruin, he now struggled against his own sense of inevitability. What am I missing? He thought again, distracting himself. The Kolos army, 300,000 strong, hadn't moved in weeks. Its members were slowly, yet relentlessly, killing each other. It seemed a waste of resources to let the army stagnate, even if the creatures could apparently eat even the dead plants beneath the ash to survive. They can't possibly live on that for long, can they? He didn't know much about the Kolos, despite spending the better part of a year with them. They appeared to be able to eat almost anything, as if just filling their stomachs were more important than actual nutrition. What was Ruin waiting for? Why not take his army in and attack? Marsh was familiar enough with Final Empire geography to recognize that he was stationed in the north, near Terrace. Why not move down and strike Luthadel? There were no other Inquisitors in the camp. Ruin had called them to other tasks, leaving Marsh alone. Of all the Inquisitors, Marsh had been given the largest number of new spikes. He had 10 new ones planted at various places in his body. That ostensibly made him the most powerful of the Inquisitors. Why leave him behind? Yet, what does it matter, he wondered. The end is come. There is no way to beat Ruin. The world will end. He felt guilty for the thought. If he could have turned his eyes downward in shame, he would have. There had been a time when he'd run the entire Ska Rebellion. Thousands had looked to him for leadership. And then, Kelsier had been captured, as had Mare, the woman both Kelsier and Marsh had loved. When Kelsier and Mare had been cast into the pits of Hathsin, Marsh had left the Rebellion. His rationale had been simple. If the Lord Ruler could catch Kelsier, the most brilliant thief of his time, then he would catch Marsh eventually, too. It hadn't been fear that had driven Marsh's retirement, but simple realism. Marsh had always been practical. Fighting had proven useless, so why do it? And then Kelsier had returned and done what 1,000 years of rebellious Ska hadn't been able to. He'd overthrown the Empire, felicitating the death of the Lord Ruler himself. That should have been me, Marsh thought. I served the Rebellion all my life, then gave up just before they finally won. It was a tragedy, and it was made worse by the fact that Marsh was doing it again. He was giving up. Damn you, Kelsier, he thought with frustration. Can't you leave me be even in death? And yet one harrowing, undeniable fact remained. Mare had been right. She had chosen Kelsier over Marsh. And then when both men had been forced to deal with her death, one had given up. The other had made her dreams come true. Marsh knew why Kelsier had decided to overthrow the Final Empire. It hadn't been for the money, the fame, or even, as most suspected, for revenge. Kelsier knew Mare's heart. He'd known that she dreamed of days when plants flourished and the sky was not red. She'd always carried with her that little picture of a flower, a copied copy of a copy, a depiction of something that had been lost to the Final Empire long ago. But, Marsh thought bitterly, you didn't make her dreams a reality, Kelsier. You failed. You killed the Lord Ruler, but that didn't fix anything. It made things worse. The ash continued to fall, blowing around Marsh in a lazy breeze. Kolos grunted, and in the near distance, one screamed as his companion killed him. Kelsier was dead now, but he had died for her dream. Mare had been right to pick him, but she was dead too. Marsh wasn't. Not yet. I can fight still, he told himself. But how? Even moving his finger would draw Ruin's attention. Although, during the last few weeks he hadn't struggled at all. Perhaps that was why Ruin decided it could leave Marsh alone for so long. The creature, or the Force, or whatever it was, wasn't omnipotent. Marsh suspected, however, that it could move about freely, watching the world and seeing what was happening in various parts of it. No walls could block its view. It seemed to be able to watch anything. Except a man's mind. Perhaps if I stop struggling long enough, I'll be able to surprise it when I finally do decide to strike. It seemed as good a plan as any, and Marsh knew exactly what he would do when the time came. He'd remove Ruin's most useful tool. He'd pull the spike from his back and kill himself, not out of frustration and not out of despair. He knew that he had some important part to play.